Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. We've got a lot of films, and they are Bodied, The Happy Prince, Halloween, and Suspiria. I won't even try. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
No comment.
Okay.
I'm fair Suspiria. Enough.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Suspiria a little bit later. The reason for covering a whole bunch of films, four films this week, is that two of them sort of go together, and then another two of them sort of go together. They don't really go together, but hey. So the first two have to do with, in one way or another, with poetry, but in really radically different ways. And I'll start off with Bodied, which is a brand new film just coming out. And it is about rapping, rap music, rap rhyming, and more specifically, it is about battle rap, which are sort of, what would you call them? Battles. Where rappers team up and they go against each other. And as with much rap music, it is full of insults. People hurl rhymed, usually, by the way, very badly rhymed, insults at one another with ferocious rhythms and ferocious speed and ferocious energy. And that is sort of what Bodied is about. It is about battle rapping. Now, Bodied was directed by Joseph Kahn, who is a Korean-American director who has made a handful of feature films and scores of music videos. So he really knows this territory. Also, this movie, one of the producers was Eminem, the very famous white rapper. So Bodied tells the story of a young graduate student who is writing a master's thesis on the use of the N-word in battle rap. And I mean, that's like, that's his topic. That's a quote from the film. He has a girlfriend. He is a young white man. He has a young white girlfriend named Maya. His father is a professor at the college where he teaches, and also, we are told, a very famous literary critic. And Adam, writing this this thesis on battle rap, finds himself getting caught up in the scene. Originally, he just starts to talk to some of the rappers, you know, try to find out some things from them. Most of them are African-American, although there's really quite an international cast of characters here. And little by little, he gets drawn in, and he finds himself becoming a battle rapper himself. Now, the thing about Bodied that everybody has to know is that this has got to be – now, I'm about to use a phrase which I hate so much that I virtually never even utter it to criticize it. But the whole movie is a satire of political correctness and about the things that it's permissible and not permissible to say in polite or even impolite company. Battle rap is, shall we say, does not go along with the rules of that. Battle rap is, as I already said, full of insults, and it is full of every conceivable kind of nasty thing that you can say about anything. And what the movie does is it shows how it sort of starts out with racial slurs and ethnic slurs and sexuality slurs and all these kinds of slurs. And then it starts to get personal. And then it gets to be insulting your girlfriend or your wife, or in one case late in the film, a little girl with a really serious illness who happens to be somebody's daughter. These insults start to come. And the whole question becomes, is it okay to even express these kinds of incredibly hostile feelings through rap, through music, through rhyme, through poetry, because in a way, this movie is a movie all about poetry. So that is kind of what the movie is about. The other thing that I have to say is that it's a comedy. So all of this horrifying ethnic and sexual and racial and so forth, slurring and epitheting and all this stuff is done for laughs. And there are times when the movie gets really savage and it's really not funny. But mostly it's a comedy. It's a tremendously energetic comedy. It's about 2 hours long, which is a bit too long for what it really has to say. I found it just quite an experience, shall we say. Battle rap is not my scene, so it was interesting to find out some things about it that I hadn't already known. There's a whole lot of music in it. There's music by Eminem, of course, and also by famous people like Wu-Tang and Dr. Dre and so forth. There are battle rappers from Ecuador, from Korea, there's some female battle rappers thrown in from time to time, although this is very much a macho male scene. I just found the whole movie a kind of a watch it. I kind of watched it in a state of amazement. It has some very funny stuff. I really laugh sometimes. At other times, I sort of gasp. And I thought about my students, my college students, who are so judgmental and who are so quick to point out the possible offensiveness of this and that. And that sort of thing is really roasted in this movie, and I'm wondering how they will respond to it. I'll be interested in seeing if I can get some comment from some of my students as to whether they found the whole thing too offensive for words or were caught up in the flow of it. Anyway, Bodied is quite a film. Very, very different. Turning to The Happy Prince, very different, but again, about poetry, about literature. We now have a movie about Oscar Wilde. Now, there was a wonderful movie about Oscar Wilde starring Stephen Fry way back in 1997. This is a new version now, which is directed by and starring Rupert Everett, a gay actor. He has been in Oscar Wilde plays and movies. He was in screen versions of The Importance of Being Earnest and An Ideal Husband. He was in David Hare's play, The Judas Kiss, about Oscar Wilde. And The Happy Prince tells the story of Oscar Wilde's last days. Now, all this is in the movie, although the movie jumps around a lot in time. So, you know, you really have to sort of pay attention to get all this. But I'm pretty familiar with Oscar Wilde's story. Oscar Wilde, interestingly, sued the Marquess of Queensberry. All this is real life now. The Marquess of Queensberry, the same one who set the rules for boxing that are still followed to this day. He sued the Marquess of Queensberry for libeling him by saying that he was homosexual. During the trial of the Marquess of Queensberry, which Oscar Wilde had set in motion, evidence came out which led to the libel suit against the Marquess of Queensberry being thrown out of court, and Oscar Wilde was convicted of what was called gross indecency with men and was sent to jail to hard labor for 2 years. He never recovered from that. He died when he was still in his middle 40s. He was totally poverty-stricken in Paris, and that is what the movie primarily deals with, the very, very last days, or, you know, last weeks or months of Oscar Wilde in Paris, going to die pretty soon. The characters include his lover, Lord Alfred Douglas, commonly known as Bosey, his literary executor, Robbie Ross, his friend Reggie Turner is played by Colin Firth. A priest who arrives at the end of the film to administer last rites is played by the wonderful Tom Wilkinson. So a wonderful cast. Emily Watson, did I mention her, plays Oscar Wilde's wife, Constance. And of course, the title of the film comes from what, for me, is the most memorable of all Oscar Wilde works, the unbelievably unhappy fairy tale of the Happy Prince, which becomes a kind of a metaphor for Wilde's own life. And we see him reading it to his own children at various points in the film. The Happy Prince is not a great film. I think that the Stephen Fry movie from the 90s is always going to be, for me, the major Oscar Wilde film about Oscar Wilde's life. But it's a very, very well-made film, very, very finely acted by Rupert Everett under a whole lot of prosthetic makeup. And anybody interested in literature in general, or in Oscar Wilde in particular, or in the horrifying machinations of homophobia back when it was literally illegal to be homosexual. Anybody who's interested in any of those things should definitely see this film. Now, the other two films I want to touch on today have to do with Halloween, which is just passed as we speak now. But I thought it would be nice to pair these two movies. And hey, let's keep the Halloween spirit going a little bit. So the first movie I want to talk about is the remake of the original Halloween. Halloween, of course, was a really terrific horror movie. And by the way, I mentioned college students a few moments ago. When I have shown Halloween to my own college students, I find that it holds up really well, the original Halloween, with today's system. Students. I thought it was terrific back in 1978, the original directed by John Carpenter. And, you know, it's a movie that always seems to hold up very well. We did not need a remake of it. But at least this remake is directed by David Gordon Green, a very uneven but very talented young director. And once again, we have, of course, the horrifying Michael Myers, who is now getting on in years, but he manages to get, you know, to escape from confinement. He is, of course, if you don't know the Halloween franchise, an incredibly horrible serial killer. And we have him striding around during this movie, killing all sorts of people, while his original main victim, Laurie Strode, played again by Jamie Lee Curtis, Curtis, also many years later. We have her and her daughter, played by Judy Greer, and her granddaughter, played by Andy Matichak, all trying to evade the horrifying killing of Michael Myers and get revenge on him after all these years. So that is what the new Halloween is about. It's basically carrying the story into the present day. And what's interesting about it is these three different generations of women in one family, all with this agenda of getting over and finally putting an end to this, not only physical trauma, but psychological trauma, which Michael Myers has wreaked upon them directly or indirectly for all these years. It's a very well-made movie. Again, I don't think we needed this remake, but if you like horror films, you'll like it. Finally, Suspiria. Hey, the title has always been mysterious. At one point near the beginning of this new movie called Suspiria, it appears to be the name of a subway stop in Berlin. So, you know, it's a mysterious title, but a very evocative one. Suspiria was a very, very fine horror movie back in 1977. This is another remake from a movie from the 70s. There was a very, very fine horror movie made by Dario Argento. I watched it again recently. It holds up very, very nicely, starring Jessica Harper as a young dance student who goes to a dancing academy, which turns out to be run by witches. So this remake is made by Luca Guadagnino, and it is way more ambitious than the original Suspiria. For one thing, it's about 2.5 hours long, which is too long, but it holds up, you know, most of that running time very well. Luca Guadagnino is a wonderfully gifted director who has made a few excellent films. I Am Love, A Bigger Splash, most recently Call Me By Your Name, all good movies, and above all, movies that look wonderful, movies that have a tremendous visual elegance and dash. So now he has made a horror movie, and it looks wonderful in the most horrifying sort of way that you can ever imagine. It's also much more ambitious than the original Suspiria. As I mentioned, it's much longer. Also, it takes place in 1977 in divided Berlin, when Berlin is undergoing the violence of the Baader-Meinhof gang and so forth. All this political violence is going on. And so it is in this divided Berlin back in the 70s with political violence erupting all over the place, on the news, in real life, when we now have our young main character, Susie Bannon, played by Dakota Johnson, who comes to this dancing academy and, as in the original Suspiria, finds out that it is all run by witches. So that's what it's about. It is a genuine horror movie, and it is horrific. The visuals are absolutely in-your-face horrifying. Now, I like horror movies, so I respect a horror movie that horrifies me. And this movie really did manage the trick, I have to say. Now, one of the most remarkable things about this movie, aside from the real visceral horror of it, is the casting. I mentioned Dakota Johnson already, but the real person I want to mention is Tilda Swinton. I have admired Tilda Swinton's work so much, going back at least to the 1980s. She is an astonishingly good actress. She is also an astoundingly versatile actress. And in this movie, in the new Suspiria, she plays no fewer than three roles. She plays Madame Blanc, who is one of the witches who runs the dancing academy. She plays a man, a psychoanalyst named Joseph Klemperer. And by the way, Jessica Harper from the original Suspiria shows up in a small role as his wife. But she plays this man, this old man, named Joseph Klemperer, and at the end of the film, she plays this sort of matriarch of the whole operation, who is about three quarters monster and about one quarter human, and all of these carried off really amazingly well by Tilda Swinton. Yes, it's sort of a stunt, but hey, movies are fun. Horror movies are fun. And this is a fun stunt. It's wonderful to see Tilda, who I've met more than once, and I think is also, by the way, just a really nice woman. She carries this off with a great deal of aplomb, and it's just enormous fun to watch. But getting back to this, it is a fun movie if you like horror movies, if you like horrifying horror movies, but it's also a very political movie. It's fascinating that the big dance, which is being prepared throughout most of the film, is entitled Volk, this, of course, being one of Hitler's favorite words. And the movie very much gets into the idea of carryovers from the Nazi era with all of its horrific violence and the violence of the supernatural, which enters into this film, and the real life political violence of the 70s, which we see also going on in the new Suspiria. So it's a movie that has very serious political undertones and overtones, but mainly it's just a good old-fashioned horror movie romp with some of the most just sort of eye-popping horror visuals you're ever going to see, and a performance by Tilda Swinton that really deserves to go into the history books. So that is my somewhat varied story this week, from poetry to Halloween. I hope it all made sense.
I think you did a superior job, David Sterrett, as you always do. Films in Focus, the films Bodied, The Happy Prince, Halloween, and Suspiria.